All right, you guys, on today's episode, this is the third of three on becoming a good student or a better student or even a master student, if you may. Mm-hmm. We are discussing individual best practices for how to get those student gains and how we best approach being a student. I think there's a ton of gold in this one. Like, if you're someone who's dealing with just trying to grow, and if you're someone who maybe even deals with self-confidence or approaching new things, and or you're just like somebody who wants more hacks, who is already a good student but think you can get better, you're always in that learning mindset, this is an awesome episode for you. We also discuss the value of TikTok, if there is one at all.
Oh, there's definitely value to it.
Is there value to TikTok? Value to little TikTok. Bits. Yeah. And how to achieve higher power levels as a Saiyan.
As a human. Nobody's got tails.
Is it real? Are the power levels real? Oh, Humans have them?
It's just measured in effort.
Is it measured in effort?
Yeah. Super Saiyan level, effort level.
Like, there are parallels. All that and more on this blast-tastic episode of The Outrun Show.
Justin, you're looking a little tired.
You sleepy?
Tired. You in a sleepy boy?
No. You nappy?
Nope. I know that. Dude, you were up late last night. I swear, I wake up to a TikTok from you every morning.
Yeah. In the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, my phone's on airplane, so it's always like when I turn my phone off airplane mode. And do not disturb, it's just like always on. So I turn off airplane mode, I click my phone, I go into the bathroom, I do my stuff, I brush my teeth, you know, comb my hair, that sort of stuff. And then I come back and check my messages. There's always a TikTok from Travis that he sent me.
Yeah. I've been using, I love TikTok. How do I explain that? I love TikTok, I think, more than any social media platform that I've just stumbled upon. Like, I actually love it. And this is funny because normally I'm very like mechanistic and practical in my approach towards software. Like, I'm very, I'm like, software, you're doing stuff for me. Don't you forget, I'm the boss, right? And that helps me not be so, you know, getting Facebook arguments, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't get into arguments on TikTok because the comment section's so awfully organized.
Yeah, it not only is it awfully organized, but those who do decide to battle will demolish you on TikTok. Like, it's like, I feel like the roasting that I've read on TikTok is some of the most comedic.
Dude, those Gen Zs, they'll get you, dude.
Yes.
They'll roast you.
Nasty little bug.
They're nasty.
I mean, they grew up, they spent their entire lives in this, you know, like, we spent our formative years, at least in the real world, and they've been digital 100%.
Right. Yeah. So here's why I like TikTok. It is so mindless, and there's always audio, so you get, in my opinion, a more full experience in media, and it's just so, the creatives just are so good. Like, for someone with like, I have like an ad agency background and a, you know, an agency creative background and stuff, like the stuff people are doing for free would have been like a $2 million Super Bowl commercial in 2010. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the creatives on there and like the, what they're doing that has to do with both video and audio, it's almost like a commercial, right? Mm-hmm. So we're used to, it's like traditional TV to some, in some way. We're back to that. You're going to get a 30-second snippet, which is essentially a commercial, or a 15-second snippet, which is a commercial. And you're going to consume it in video and audio, and it has to be engaging enough that as you're going, swiping through the different channels, it stops you. It's disruptive, and then it captures your attention, and then it invokes a response.
Yeah.
And some of the comedy on there or whatever, it's just so, it's so good. So my routine. Well, do you guys feel that way or no? It's like
about TikTok. I'm a big fan of it. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it to me. Like, it doesn't feel like my account matters much. Right, whereas like on Instagram you can see your feed and you can see somebody else's whole feed and you can explore just as a general, like, I spend most of my time on Instagram on the explore page, rather than I do on my actual, like, you know, homepage. Just because the fact that things come one at a time to me is very, like, it's monotonous, right? And even though, like, everybody that I follow are people that I want to follow and, like, I like their content, but I don't have time to scroll through and see if everybody posted. So I'm just trusting that Instagram is going to put the stuff that I care about most at top of my scroll, because I'll spend like a minute or two scrolling. And then I go to the explore page where most of the people that I follow show up on anyways.
Mm.
And then I can see, you know, like a 3x5 grid or whatever. And I can see like, oh, that's a post from Justin. And so I can click it, watch it, go back to the explore feed. And TikTok, while I love the full screen media, it being like one at a time is like kind of annoying, because then I have to swipe through like 5 different things before I get to something that's actually interesting to me on my For You page, and then I go to the following. And so I like TikTok. I'm a big fan of it. I think it has a lot of depth left yet to go in terms
of,
we
don't know, right?
Yeah. So
it's pretty young still.
But I still prefer the variety that is Instagram. Although Instagram right now with like Reels could be pretty cool. They just...
So the problem is volume forced on with Reels?
No.
So, I mean, that is your problem.
Well, I think if you go into the actual view page, it is.
Then it's kind
but
of
that's
Facebook.
But that's what I like about it, is I don't have to view it in the full screen.
Yeah.
Automatically. I can see it in the little, you know...
See, I think that's the advantage of TikTok, is they force audio. Like someone, I saw a TikTok where someone posted.
Your audio is on, like your media volume's on just
all the
time.
On TikTok? This? Absolutely.
Default, it's off.
But it's got to be on all the time.
Yeah. Lindsay watches TikTok on silent too. Yeah. Oh. Me out.
Until I'm interested.
Yes, thank you. Like I saw like someone posted a TikTok and it was like in the caption, it's like right when it starts, it says volume up. And I'm coming in the comments, I'm just like, what psychopath watches TikTok with the volume off? Volume up, why? And yeah,
I've got it off all the time.
But that's the whole, oh, okay, all right.
It's because I hate hearing the same, like, freaking song a thousand times. And I don't know if I care enough about your content to, like, turn my volume on and hear your voice until I've watched, like, 10 seconds of it. So if the person's, like, talking and I'm like, oh, they look like they're talking about something that's interesting to me, I'll turn it up. And they'll be like, okay, cool.
I think sometimes social media is a bit like a good worn in pair of shoes or a mitt for like a ball sport is like, you can't right out of the box. It's just not what you want. You gotta, you know,
yeah,
curate
it
for
a bit. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like my algorithm's pretty broken in right now. Like I think if you picked up my, we'll look at it later. We won't bother with the podcast on it all day. But if you look at mine later and just scroll through and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, if this is what was coming up, maybe I'd be more interested. But it's a lot of it's comedy. So I like it. So here's what I'll end on for the TikTok is that I think that the reason you catch me TikToking late at night, which is by no means healthy by any other terms, except for the fact that I think it does replace that like late night TV. You guys were younger, you watched TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Not really, no.
No?
When we were younger?
Not
at night, though.
Well, yeah, but you lived at a time when you would go
Saturday
through
morning,
channel surf, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
You would have to scroll through channels to find stuff. And late at night, I would always do that. And like, it's to the point, did you guys ever, oh man, anyway, like I'm mostly in the TikTok for nostalgia TikTok. Like I have a bunch of channels that are like play what basically was on TV late at night in like, you know, the early 2000s. And so for me, when I watch it, like it's a very similar, I don't have that anymore, right? I mean, I don't subscribe to it. TV yep. channel, yeah. Switch to.
Yeah.
So I think that some of it is just like it feels like late night TV. Back in you know whenever, and that's kind of why you catch me with it at night, because my routine is I eat my food, I do whatever, I watch a show.
Hey, let me ask you a question: are you laying in bed, candy next to you, and you're scrolling through TikTok with the volume up
together?
That's just. I'm sorry. That's rude as hell.
No.
That's rude as hell.
No, okay, we're watching it together.
Oh, you're on the same device?
We're on the same device,
that's
sharing
kinda,
the
that's
device,
cute.
Laughing.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
so I was like, if you're both like next to each other with volume up, I'm like, you've got AirPods, put them in. You're
again,
a decent person.
That's true.
That's
no.
another thing about like volume up on TikTok is like, I just can't subject everybody else to the audio that's coming out of my phone. It's like playing music and just like out loud while sitting in a coffee shop.
Yeah,
like everybody's just like, dude, put some headphones in and like
that's rude.
Listen to your own music.
I mean, I use the AirPods if I'm watching it at night or whatever. But yeah, no, it's quite wholesome.
Yeah, but the sharing of a device, that's cute.
Thanks,
Anyways, on to our actual topic for the day. We've been kind of on this little kick about like students and whether you're the student or you have a student. Mostly about being, if you are the student, but as it relates to like being a good student for your coach, being a good student for your peers, right? And so today we're going to talk a little bit about being a student for yourself, mm-hmm. meaning like what are the things that we do or the things that we should do but don't that enable us to be better learners, right?
Master student.
Less so much in the academic sense as much as the like physical sense, right? But if you guys have anything that you're like, oh, like if I want to devour a textbook, this is the, I eat three grapes and I drink like half a glass of rosé and the combination of physical grapes and a rosé just makes me learn, boo. Then throw it out there by all means. But I'm talking more specifically, like, what do you do to foster that parkour creative inside
mm-hmm.
you?
To bring the new.
Mm-hmm. To reinforce
creativity
the
or learn or yeah, learn
or,
the old
or to maybe relearn something, right? Because like I feel like we're all at the age now or have at least been doing parkour long enough that there are certainly skills that we've had to come back to, right? I feel like that's one benefit of being a newish parkour person with like, you know, less than 5 years. Everything you've learned is all brand new and you don't forget anything, but
yeah,
you cross the first decade.
I think that
suddenly you're like, oh, I got to come back to like reinforce or relearn that skill.
Exactly. And then learn it differently and hopefully add some spice, right?
Yeah.
I think that if anybody's known us over the years, like adaptability and sort of growth has definitely been a like key characteristic in particularly in our business relationships of having been partners, but also in like as us as individuals, like, I mean, we're typically people who, if people understand that we have some sort of understanding in a particular domain, will come to and ask advice of or just get consideration for. At least I feel heard a lot about the things that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that if I go back, you know, every year just feels like a decade for me. If I'm like, oh my gosh, if I was going to talk to myself, you know, yeah. last year about this year, the things I would be able to say, I've not had years where I've been like a year's gone by and I didn't feel like
you made progress,
like didn't make progress, right? Yeah, like I don't have years like that, it feels like. And yeah, the growth is really strong. So I think that that's what's at the center of it, is one, having, you know, a student's mindset is a growth mindset, right? And so what enables that for me, just on my own person, everybody has a different approach, right? Because we all have different skills and whatnot, is just like a degree of sort of when my ambitions align with my endorphins. Could that be a thing? Yeah. When my ambitions align with my endorphins, then I can just go. Like there's that mm-hmm. like unlimited amount of creative energy is when the ambitions align with the endorphins. And so as long as I can spin something up in a way that makes me feel like it's tied to something that's close to my ambitions. And the lamest example, one of the lamest examples, I remember when I was younger, just starting out, my first job, one of those jobs was at a call center for a cell phone company. And I was going to get on, you know, talk to people about their bills and stuff, but I knew they'd be talking about phones. So I just positioned it in my head that, oh, I'm going to become a phone geek and I'm going to learn everything I can about phones. And this is an avenue for me to experience that. 90% of the time it was, I can't pay my bill, but you know, but my experience in that was different. And I think that there's an experience of choice there to be had. Does that make sense? Like yeah. You have to choose to be a student. You have to say, I am a person. Like that's just, it's not something everybody does, right? Some people learn for a little bit and then they refine and refine and refine.
I think people want to figure it out on their own. That's what I think is the biggest block from people that I discover, is that they mm-hmm. don't want someone else to have the answer. They want to be the individual that discovers it and owns that realization or that growth.
That discovery.
And that's, I understand that. Like, I understand you want to be the one who made the decision that made yourself better. But there's just no way that you can do that on your own.
Forever.
Your entire life. I feel like it's at least 50% where I've discovered, oh, you know what? I look back and I realize, you know, I was engaging in that conversation mindlessly and I wasn't, and then someone else pointed it out to me and I'm like, no, I was there the whole time.
But if I had thought about it on my own, I would realize my mistakes. So there's, I feel like you just have to let someone else help you grow sometimes.
Mm, it's true.
And point out your flaws. That it's very tough to do that though. So
yeah, I was saying like behavior for wow, is that the first time that's happened? Holy cow.
Sorry. I'm surprised it's taken this long, actually.
For it's taking that long, I have to throw the phone. Phone's down.
Phone check. These guys, my phone? It's over there. You're welcome.
Okay, yeah, okay. So my wife Candy, her like she likes to do puzzles. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of moving pieces. There's complexity. And I was using the analogy about behavior. And it's like sometimes I feel like behaviorally with myself, because I would like, you know, over psychoanalyze myself, right? I'll just like, you know, in the past it was perhaps even paralysis by analysis type of thing. And I was like, but I began to learn my own behaviors and then see my own behaviors in other people, and it helped me develop empathy, because I was like, oh, I felt like that before. Mm-hmm. I've been in that mind. Okay, I get it. I've been that way before in my own head. Here's what I needed in that moment, because I was willing to say, I can be vulnerable. I can make mistakes. I'm probably making them, and everything's just in the air in relationships and or a romance, right? Whether you're in a romantic relationship or not, it's not, you don't just get a rule book on it that you can follow so literally and then be good at. Mm-hmm. Right? It's very hard. It's like you got to have experience, you got to have an open mind and be aware and honest with yourself. And so I think that that's the type of humility that goes into being a student. First, you have to be willing to change. Are you invested in willing to change? Because being a student is about growth. And you have to change. So what are you going to be like, I don't like to change, but I want to be a good student. What do you want to just rote memorize stuff?
Well, I'll be honest. I don't want to be a good student, but I recognize that being a good student makes me a better person that I want to be, right? Mm. Like, I don't wake up in the day and be like, I'm going to go be a great learner today. Like, I'm going to be like, no, I'm going to go kick ass today. And the way that you go kick ass is you be a good student.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wake up and I'm just like, I'm going to focus on being a good learner today. So that's funny you said that, because I think three days ago I woke up and had that same thought in my head.
Yeah, like I
know you're not making fun of it. I'm just saying, like, that's funny.
Don't want to demean anybody. But yeah, I think it's more like, I guess, where's your goal, right? Like, some people are more academics and that they want to just keep learning regardless of what it is, where it's at. And some people, like myself, have the, I wouldn't say it like, I'm more ambitious than you are, certainly, or other people, just that my focus on where that ambition lies is just a different area.
Right? Yeah, different attention is different.
Yeah. Right? My goal is to just be more me.
Right.
And to be better me, I got to learn about me and everybody else.
In that way, we are the same, because I think that you have to have this curiosity. And the one way to let down the amount of vulnerability required to, in my opinion, be a really good student, a really intelligent student, is to be more concerned or more curious about the potential than you are afraid of the judgment.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I start out to learn something new and I sit down and I'm like, all right, first thing I gotta do is just try it in front of everybody. And and there's that immediate feeling of, I'm gonna be judged, you know, and it's gonna sound weird. I'm gonna like try to dance, or I'm gonna try this move, or I'm training with buddies and I'm gonna try something. I'm like, it shouldn't be hard. What if it's hard for me and it's not for them? Just like, I'm like, cool. Then look, there's all this like greenfield opportunity to experience growth. And that's such a high. So being in love with growth, definitely, or the process of change, can help you with that. But that makes a lot of people feel afraid of being judged or just insecure and antsy.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to like the movement world, we can be a little elitist sometimes. I feel like we've definitely gotten better, but I mean, Justin, you remember like, 2010, right? 2010 to 2012. It was very like, you were either in the free running camp or you were in the parkour camp. Mm. And there was a lot of like animosity between these like focuses. It wasn't that you couldn't do both. It was just that you couldn't label them incorrectly. Or you know,
you'd have one video of each and you couldn't cross.
Yeah. Yeah, you had like a free running video and a parkour video, or you know, free running clips specifically a part of the video, or parkour. Yeah. And I feel like we've gotten better about that, but we're still pretty elitist. Although I feel like we're getting a lot better, because there's just so many movers out there now that are in different industries that are now being attracted to parkour,
mm-hmm.
that are pulling that are doing what parkour has historically always been the king of, which is like we steal, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, I like that from that movement sport. It's mine now. We're adding it. Mm-hmm. And now other sports are doing that with parkour. And it makes it very hard to be an elitist prick mm-hmm. when everybody's doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. right? Like you can't be like, hey, wait a sec. Oh, wait, that's what I did, right? Mm-hmm. That's literally the, like what our sport grew out of.
Right.
Was this thieving.
I think that this goes back to Justin's original point, which this sort of like yearning for originality and ownership over a movement or over a style or over an approach is somewhat of an illusion, because once you open your mind to understand that there's all this, you know, plethora, this cornucopia of movements that you can pull from, the combinations are nearly impossible to match, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, it's the recipe. It's like, you can't be upset because someone used tomato in their dish. And then they're like, well, I can't use tomato when I cook now because, you know, Justin uses tomato. So I got to go find that.
Yeah.
You don't find an alternative that also, you know, thickens and gives me like, what's a good umami vegetable, right? So you can't yes. do that, yeah. right? So how do you, do you add umami when you can't use tomato? Sorry, Justin.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, the entire point of being a good chef is taking that recipe and finding where you can tweak it, right? Not being like, oh, I got this recipe, I got to make a whole new one now. It's, oh, he's got this great recipe, and now I'm going to modify it in just enough ways in the right spots that make it my recipe, right? That's what movement's about, and that, I think, is what people are really trying to find, right? They're trying to find their thing. Like, oh, that's Justin's style. I've seen, like, mm-hmm. some, you know who moves really well like that? Oh, it's this guy, Justin, right? You want them to have that thought mm-hmm. when they see someone move in that way. But the only way you do that is by copying other people's styles and then just adapting them to your own, right?
Yep.
So, sorry, I interrupted your question.
No, you're right. You have to. I'm about to parlay on that once we hear what Justin has to say.
Yeah, I always thought it was... Well, first off, it always feels amazing when you give someone advice and then it fixes or helps their problem, and then they call you out and say, I had this issue and someone helped me out with it. Mm-hmm. So it's just returning that favor, and in a way that helps you out too. There's a, you know, a good feeling when you learn something from someone and you call it out. And I usually just ended up like naming something or a move or a trick or a piece of advice after the person who gave it to me.
Mm.
You know, I feel like we do this with video games all the time.
What's the last time you did this? Can you remember?
Like, or am I calling you out? Private Pomo.
That's okay. not a positive one.
It's not a thing, but like, I just, when you name like certain instances after someone like that, I feel like mm-hmm. it gives that moment a special place in your, memory or in your heart.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't feel like someone fixed you or you had to give someone else credit for your improvement,
your learning.
Yeah. It just becomes a memory, I feel like, that's feels better to go back on.
Yeah, so here's my hacky approach to parlay on Jesse's earlier thing, and that is that when I start something out, initially I am trying to copy what someone else yeah. does. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to become too original too soon. I'm trying to copy it as mm-hmm. close as I can. And then I copy X, Y, and Z as close as I can. And then I'm the one that made the selection to copy X, Y, and Z. So if I present X, Y, and Z together, even though they have different origins, it's going to look original. And I haven't even done anything original yet. Because just the order of which I presented my movements or I trained or I talked about an idea is already seems new because I've just taken three ideas that I heard somewhere else, which honestly we're all doing anyway. We're repeating what we've heard before. So then it's that combination.
Now you get into this self-determination BS.
Oh, yeah. He's not a determinist. Okay. No. All right.
Not a simulationist.
We can have that. We'll have that conversation later, right?
We don't need to.
All right.
It's irrelevant.
All right. Highly. All right. So then basically I'm taking something I like, I'm doing my best job to copy it, and then I'm combining it with a couple other things that I like. And that's the simplest mm-hmm. hack. And later on, when that becomes sort of something that I don't have to, I don't have to compose consciously, and it gets into that, unconscious competence range, where my body's just sort of, mind's just sort of drawing from it to do it, and I'm not like having to think about, oh, what was that move that I was working on? Okay, then I feel like that's more authentic. And it's that moment that I've experienced enough to have faith that when I go into it, learning in a new environment, I know what's on the other side. So it doesn't matter to me how much I look like an idiot in the first phase, because I know that's on the other end of it. So yeah, it's my anticipation of that that makes me okay with sucking really bad in the beginning of a lot of things that I would work on.
Does that make sense? I think that's a big one for sure, is just being comfortable with the suck, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said earlier that it's definitely a lot of people being afraid of looking bad when they're trying to be a new student, or just a student in general, right? Like, it's actually more humbling if you've been doing it for 5 years to then be like, all right, I really have to grow. And then in order to do that, you have to look like it's your first 6 months, right? That's mm-hmm. super humbling. But it's such an important thing, and you got to keep your eyes on essentially on the prize, which is, when I come out on this and I do get this skill or I do get this style, it's only going to make my practice look that much better, or my movement look that much better. It's going to help solidify the things that I wanted to solidify and whatever style I'm trying to curate. And that, I think, for a lot of students can be a tricky spot. It's like, do I look good? Should I post this? We've talked a lot about that, about the like, no, my left foot was like kind of turned out sideways and I was making kind of a funny face. Let's film it again. Right. And it's like, you ain't got time for that.
Right.
Like, just film it. And if you were like, did you try? Yeah, I tried really hard. Great. Post it.
Mm-hmm.
Be done with it. Move on. Yeah. Try something new. Yeah. Because A, I don't want to have to stand there and film it 6 times. And B, you could be on filming another line at this point. So being a student is all about like being okay with that suck.
With turning in the work. You gotta be okay turning in the work.
Yeah, like, can you imagine if turning in homework, you were like, oh, I can't turn that homework in yet. I don't know it's gonna be 100%.
It's not even yours to judge at that point, right?
You're like, I don't know if that's gonna score a perfect score, so I can't turn it in. Also, I gotta go through it. And you'd be like, well, how do you don't know. Yeah, it's not yours to judge. Turn it in. People might be like, holy cow, that was amazing.
So you think if you don't, so this is just the exact parallel to this would be, I think it's better in the beginning to go through condensed phases of acceleration where you're just eating that like humble pie as much as you can tolerate early on.
It's definitely easier to eat the whole pie after the first bite rather than like eating a bite and coming back to it.
For the whole year, it gets stale. People start to believe that's who you are. You know, if you really want to get to the other side of it, just get through the work. But also understand that
eat a slice.
It's going to take, like most of these things do take, you know, you're going through that period of acceleration as a new learner that goes really fast. But to be honest, like, to get really like saucy at something, you're talking a year or two in just about anything to have some punch behind what you do. And those things do
dedicated work.
Right, right.
That's not, yeah.
And so what I would say is like, take your first 30 days, take your first 2 months and just like take as much volume as you can in a way that doesn't like hurt you. Like if it's physical or if psychologically, if it's like math or something. But I mean, you think if you don't work at math every day for 30 days, you think you're not going to be better at it at the end of it? You won't with the person who's like, oh no, that's not good enough. I'll work on it tomorrow. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Like, that social media is a great accountability for that. I think there's a ton of opportunity for people who are looking for recognition to use something like TikTok to do a daily journal on something that they're working on.
Yep.
And just to be accountable to themselves. And then just go back and look. It's 30, 15, 30 at the most, a minute of video evidence over 30 days. You know, we had that thing where people doing a line a day for a year or whatever they record.
The dailies.
I think that's maybe a year is a bit long.
Oh, yeah.
But I would maybe like a 30 day.
I'm pretty sure like to parkour specific, I'm pretty sure Kent John's the only one that actually made a full year. And then in movement, the only other person I've seen that's actually done a full year is Nico. Nico's
The B-boy
out of San Diego.
Oh,
right, yeah, B-boy?
Yeah,
Nico's B-boy. Yeah, those are the only people I've actually seen successfully do it. And
that's crazy.
The actual like growth, both of them will talk about from that experience was huge, right? And the clips I put out were monstrous. Sometimes I remember this was when Vine was really popular. Ooh. It was when Kent did his daily, and that's really where it started. And some of the clips that Kent would post on those were, like, awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't just, like, little, oh, I'm working on precision stuff, though he could have done that. They were legit lines that I was like, wow, that would take me a week just to come up with. And
right.
That was his daily, right?
And that's, I'd also like to point out that Kent is a really good parkour creative. Yeah. So you've got somebody who is slaying at multiple levels, like just the personal accountability of being that dedicated and that kind of discipline and that kind of ritual. I mean, when we started this year out, the goal was, for me, was daily meditation, which I'm still in. I've still been able to do it every day. We're coming into what? We're coming into April. All right. So, gosh, it feels like forever, but it's only been like 3 months or whatever. I'm like, man, this routine was pretty manageable. So I added in daily Chinese, even though I speak Mandarin, but I don't want it to get rusty and I want it to get better. So I added in daily Duolingo, and now I'm on like nearly a 1 month streak in Duolingo on it. So it's 10 minutes a day. So the meditation, I've got Duolingo. I've just started compounding habits. And now I'm wondering if like eventually, like, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, my entire like day will be built up of like five things, just because it became more manageable, because I wasn't trying to produce an entire video.
Yeah.
I was just like 10 minutes. That's it. 10 minutes. I can find 10.
Yep.
And sometimes it's five because I'm good at Chinese.
Bing, 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 bing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that's a big thing too, is like coming up and finding habits or routines that you can kind of fold into your already daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we all have examples of those, whether they're positive ones or negative ones. So I won't go on TikTok while I'm making morning coffee is one, because then it takes me longer to make morning coffee, but two, because I just want to give my brain time to wake up from the day. So I always check the messages. If there's, you know, if there's something in Slack that's like marked as important or an email that I really need to get to, I check it to make sure I'm like, okay, cool. That's the thing I'm going to get to right after I'm done with this. But then phone's down, I make coffee, run Carly her coffee, sip my coffee, pet my cats, maybe play a little fetch with them, and then I go to work. But
yeah, there was some writer who, it was a TikTok I was watching. He was talking about how he wakes up really early, and your brain waves right? when you wake up really early are in like this phase where you're very creative. And so to waste it on waking up and then flipping up social media, he's like, it's such a waste. You have such a small window where your brain activity allows you to be really creative without much effort. And he was like, so I wake up and within like 2 minutes, I'm starting to write.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that too. I've woken up, I've dreamt about the SketchUp model before in the gym. And I'll wake up and I'll be like, yeah, you got to remember this, Justin. This is a good design. You figured out the problem. And then I'd be like, crash, and then I'm like struggling to remember when it was. So there is a special moment right when you wake up that it is easier to be motivated and creative. So I think wasting it with that social media,
yeah, that's not tough. A behavior I have.
Yeah,
I don't have that. I didn't think about, yeah, I would feel guilty if I picked up my phone at the time. That's why you catch me at TikTok at midnight.
Dude, it's late. And yeah,
I also can't, always I can't do TikTok while one. Making coffee because my cat hates it. She'll bite my leg.
Oh, wow.
Because I have the volume on.
Oh, wow.
Levy like, or Evie?
Levy.
Like, put in your AirPods. Course.
Of course. She's such a prima donna.
That cat. For sure.
Yeah, anybody listening, Justin has a cat that's about this big. She's not a munchkin cat, but she weighs 7 pounds.
Yeah.
She's 7 pounds, and she has no neck. And she's like...
Half legs.
It's not like a deformity or anything. She just has such poofy hair around her neck that her head's just like...
Yeah, it's a little snowman.
Yeah. She's literally made of circles. Yeah. Like, you could draw circles. Like, if this was a beginner's, like, how to draw cat. we would draw four circles, and that would be Levy.
Yup. Truth.
She's hilarious.
I think that the sort of curiosity about what can come out of being a good student is important. I think that the humility can be gained just by being used to going through that cycle and knowing that there's something on the other side that you could really learn and grow from this. And then also just knowing that, you know, that showing change is one of the most impressive things that you can do. If you're really worried about recognition, that's a really good thing to be recognized for. It's like, here I was, here's where I started. And the only way to do that is ironically, the only way to do that is to dangerously document yourself. So even if you, I like it when it's done publicly, but I think that depending on where you're at and fatigue and content and stuff, you should at least document it personally.
Well, mm-hmm. we've mentioned this before. Oh, yeah. You can make a private Instagram account and just keep it locked up, but then post all your clips. If you're genuinely not concerned or you're not doing it for others, what's the best way to put that?
You want to see it for yourself, right?
Yeah, if it's just for yourself, it's not like a movement practice that you plan on showing other people for whatever reason, then make a private Instagram or a private TikTok and film 15 seconds of whatever it may be and post it on there and keep it. But at least then you've got a record. It's also better than keeping it in your actual phone, because let's be honest, 2 weeks out, that photo is lost in your archive, yeah, your right? Archives. But you can use social platforms as almost folders for each of these journeys that you're going on.
And I use Apple Photos folders for some of that progress tracking.
Do you?
A training one. Yeah.
Nice.
That I can scroll back through. It's a little disorganized, but yeah.
And
this has got different subjects.
The album side is a little more.
Yeah.
On the software side, it's a little more.
But it serves the purpose. Like, I can go back and, like, I always go back and look at my breaking, right? Mm-hmm. I'll go back a year later, I'll look at it, I'll be like, oh, no, I see what you were trying. But, yeah. That gives me so much optimism, because creeping, you know, I'm in my late 30s now, my super late 30s. And then to still go back and look at video of myself in my 20s or even early 30s, and then be like, man, I would smoke you. Yeah. Like, to have that feeling is so cool.
It is.
Even at this end. Right. Now, I thought, oh, yeah. In my 30s, that'll be easy, but like to be where I'm at now and still look back and be like, nah, you couldn't do that back then. You know, I'd look at it and I'm like, dude, I'd smoke you now. Yeah. Smoke yourself.
At least for the first 5 minutes.
then your cardio stamina goes down. No, we don't use the word
I definitely
cardio.
Know that my I can't, stamina. Can't do the amount of volume that I could back then, but definitely skill, style, form.
I think that you can't do the amount of volume that you could back then because you're more stubborn than you were.
Oh, it's totally true. It's totally like, no, I'm not doing more than this. I'm doing three and I'm done.
Yeah. I think, too, part of it for me is like, as you get better, you can kind of hurt yourself more.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what I mean by that is like, I can't kick stuff like I used to. Like, it's just, I can't. If I hit, like, the kicks have gotten crisp and over time. So if I kick stuff or I jump or if I go max power on stuff, it's like when you look at like a smaller like kid and they jump, you're like, yeah, you're jumping and yeah, you could hurt yourself, but like really not dealing with a ton of velocity and power here.
That is, I mean, we all know that kids heal faster, right? When they're young and they're pliable and squishy. But I hear parents all the time that are like, oh, he'll run around, he'll fall, and like he just gets right up. And I'm like, yeah, he's falling from 2 feet. You can also fall from 2 feet and get right back up.
Right.
He's a sponge.
Yeah.
And it's really he's even him running full speed into a wall. That's why kids can do that, run into the dryer.
Because they're just not going that fast.
Because they only weigh 30 pounds and they're running half a mile an hour. Yep. You can run the math on that, on how much impact that is. It's the same as if I just gave you a good shove.
The impact is a lot. I don't think that's so interesting. And I know if you get around pro athletes, just being in their presence, it is almost like Dragon Ball where you sense a power level.
Oh, yeah,
like I've like, totally been around
this
people.
This dude could hurt himself.
Yup.
She could wreck herself.
You're like, how did you blow your Achilles going up for like a dunk? And it's like, have you seen the approach of like a pro basketball athlete? Like, you don't want, it's like a rhino. You don't want to be in the way of that. Yeah. Right?
Well, you see it, right? I mean, we just wrapped up March Madness, right? And you'll watch them run for the dunk and somebody jump out the block and just whoop.
Boom.
And they're sliding out by the cameraman, right?
And those aren't small people either.
Those are just small people.
Right? So there's something that, yeah, as you get like more, as your like power level goes up, right? As a Saiyan. And you can, what was that? Nova started watching it's Super, right? Dragon Ball Super with Beerus.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, start out, she's like, oh, this is weird. And then she saw Beerus slap Bulma and laughed about it for 5 minutes straight. And then was like, and just like, I don't know why I love this show now. I don't know why. And I'm like, so now every night she's trying to watch an episode of Super, but she's so like, she's their first real solid immersion in Dragon Ball. So she's always just like, what? Why is there's another episode? Why would this end? And you're like, no, that's
she doesn't
the whole,
get any resolution.
Right. I mean, that's whole thing. That it never, it really ends like this, no, but you just get to experience that again and again. And it is the same, similar plot line.
Yeah.
And so that, like, idea of that power level, I think, is so interesting. There's always another level to it, and as you get older, yeah. So in that episode, they were like having this battle, and then like what was happening is that Beerus and Goku would, when they collided, they would potentially send these ripples that could destroy the universe, right? And so that's a bit much, but I think that as you train more, it kind of becomes that. It's like the sort of casualty of your movement, the potential casualty of the force that you generate as a new learner in anything. Like, it's probably the risk of injuring yourself and others is your own clumsiness, maybe. But like, yeah.
It's a bit of a bell curve for sure, where when you first start out, your risk of injury is super high because you're kind of dumb, right? Yep. And then as you become more experienced, your risk of injury goes down a little bit. But then as you hit a point where your skill and ability starts to go again, where your risk of injury goes back to being peak, it's right? True. And the truth is, pro athletes damage themselves doing what they do all the time.
They sacrifice.
It's almost 100% of where they injure themselves. It's like, oh, how'd you injure yourself? Oh, I was playing a game and I'm a quarterback or I'm a pitcher and I threw out my shoulder. And you're like, but throwing is your thing. So how did you get injured doing your thing, right? It's like your eyeball getting hurt from just seeing. Mm. But the truth is, yeah, there's just so much energy and force in what they do at that level.
This is such a cool metaphor. Like, you can't play. I can't play at my full power level, or I'll hurt you in this entire universe. You know, it's like it feels myself that way. Because when you're novice, and maybe that's why you're getting hurt more. You're usually trying to put everything you can into everything.
I would like to preface that at 160 pounds, I have a lot more to give than you do.
Right? Yeah.
Well, like 20 pounds running into a wall at full speed is a substantial difference. So that's what I'm saying. Like, as a little guy, I have a little bit of an advantage there.
Oh, no, you're at 160 now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at like 165.
Shit.
I lost my weight. Yeah, I don't know when I lost it. It's easy for me to lose
welcome
weight.
Welcome to the featherweight.
So, well,
I guess now featherweight's like 140, huh? So
yeah, that's the real
welterweight.
But yeah, 140 welter. Yeah, we're almost welter. Yeah, 170, 172, or something like that. You can Google it.
It's like 175. You hit like heavyweight.
Oh no, there's welter and then there's middleweight, and then heavies are like two hundos up, so it's higher like that. I'm pretty sure.
I guess it depends on whether you're talking about boxing or UFC
or MMA. Yeah, I don't know if it depends. So yes, there is truth in that. And I just feel like it's such a cool metaphor that it's just like, you have to kind of manage your power level. And then if you give it 100%, and then here's the other side. Here's what dampens the bell curve. And this is where I think creates longevity, and it's finesse. Mm-hmm. I think finesse is the neutralizing, the balancing energy with power as you gain experience, the subtlety, the finesse.
And that only comes with trying new styles and different things, with embracing the suck
and being a good student, looking at yourself and being like, there, you could change that. Just because you hit it, it looked a hot mess, right? Mm-hmm. Go back, look at the video, and you'll be like, oh, okay. Finesse equals sustainability. Like, you look at the best, they all have the finesse. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, people win without finesse, but people endure,
yeah,
because of finesse.
Ooh, I like that.
There we go. We
can like that whole phrase.
Yeah.
They do that.
I'm gonna tuck that one away. Take it.
But
take it to the hole.
Yeah. There's some good stuff on
being a
student for yourself. And I think this is, unless we want to add a fourth episode, but I think this is a pretty nice little wrap up package for our student series.
Yep. Hey. The earlier analogy that I was drawing from that I had a conversation with Candy about that I think can help wrap stuff up too is that as you gain experience in any domain and what you do, you begin to develop an intuition for how difficult things will be and whether you think you can digest it. So that's why I think you should start smaller, like the 10 minutes a day or something like that, versus Kent, who's doing like an entire video, even though that may be...
It was like a 10-second clip.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know. Did he one-shot every single one of those, or did he put like heart into it? Sometimes 10 seconds can be half a day to get the shot, right? Yeah, you know what I mean? So... I we don't know, but as you do that, the analogy that I love is puzzles, because, you know, while you don't know exactly how you will get the puzzle done, if I go to you, Jesse, and I say, you're a puzzle guy, if I give you a 25-piece puzzle, your anxiety level is going to be way low, You're like 25 pieces. Okay. You want it done in like 5 minutes or something or less or whatever. Like you're feeling like that's super digestible. And while you don't know exactly what it'll look like in the end, potentially, you're pretty confident you're going to get it done. So it doesn't matter if I'm giving you like a, if we go into a domain and I'm giving you a 25 piece skill level puzzle, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a skill you're not even that passionate about, but you'll probably feel like, yeah, I can do it. What's the level of for study? Okay, this is like a 100 level course or something. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. Give me like rocket science and I'm going to go 100. Okay, yeah, we can figure that much out, right? Rockets or missiles, right? I mean, whatever it might be. That's the way I feel about taking on new learning. Now, if I approach something and someone's like, oh, you're going to learn that in this domain, I just have to make sure I don't take on the like 1,000 piece puzzle, right? Because then it doesn't matter what it is. If it's 1,000 level, it doesn't matter if it's a domain I'm comfortable in. I'm like, okay, I think I can get it done, but this one's going to be tough, okay? And I have, so finding those digestible bites. And I feel like oftentimes when people try to learn new things, they're like, I'm just going to make my entire life about it. I'm going to go to school for it. And I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to sign up. And that's how college sells you, because they're like, oh, what's your major going to be? You just bit like a 10,000 piece puzzle.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so
of just on a one conversation and a whim. So that's why generalism still holds weight and is probably better until you build up like your puzzle piece capacity to those like 100s and 200s. And I believe there's a compounding effect. I think that if you're used to like finishing 500 piece puzzles, that you could maybe bump that 25 up to a 50 or a 100 in almost any domain and be able to have like the student, you know, bigger to be able to get it done.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that puzzles. Example.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good,
kind of like heuristic.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but it'll give you the confidence to start something new.
Well, and you never know. It might end up being your thing. You may try that 25 piece puzzle and be like, holy cow, I love this. This is amazing. This is way better than what I was doing before.
Yeah.
And that journey of self-discovery is pretty badass too.
That's where it's at.
That is where it's at. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. Hopefully, if you tuned in for just this one episode, there are two earlier episodes talking about being a student.
The trilogy.
This is the final one. So if you're just jumping in now, definitely go back and check those out. Those are all on YouTube if you want to watch, or they're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you want to listen. But thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.